Our scripture reading today comes from the very end of the 15th chapter of Mark, and then the beginning of the 16th chapter. We'll hear the concluding two verses of the Good Friday story, and then pick up with Easter morning. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Then Joseph of Arimathea bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body of Jesus, wrapped it in the linen cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early, on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The stone of death has been rolled away. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. This is the whole reason that we are here. I don't just mean the reason we're in church this morning, but the reason that there is a church in the first place. This story, this truth, that Jesus Christ, who had been put to death by the sinful powers of the world, was raised again to new life. This hope-filled proclamation is the entire foundation of our Christian faith. It is the defining hub in the center of the wheel around which everything else turns. From this moment, all of history beforehand and afterward is given new meaning, new purpose, new love. This is the dawn of the new creation. The death blow dealt to death itself. It was the resurrection of Christ, the rolling back of death, that transformed that ragtag group of dim-witted disciples into the one holy apostolic church, the communion of saints that has endured through the ages to us today. This truth of the resurrection gives us the most important answer in our faith, that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. But with this answer comes the inspiration of a whole slew of other questions. We're left wondering, how? How did this happen? What does it mean for the world? What does it mean for my own life? For life beyond life? What difference does it make? How am I to respond to this truth that feels too good to be true? These are some of the big Easter questions But early on in the story, there is another question that guides the narrative. The author of the Gospel of Mark goes out of his way to tell us that when Jesus died, his body was laid to rest in that tomb, and a very large stone was rolled in front of the entrance to close it off, to seal it shut, to literally provide closure. It must have been a pretty massive boulder, because 3 days later, after the Sabbath, when Mary and the other Mary and Salome head to the tomb, they are worried about this stone that they know will keep them from getting into the tomb, keep them from performing their mission of mourning. "Who will roll away the stone for us?" they ask. Because, of course, they know what they're going to find when they get there. They are sure that that stone is still going to be exactly where it was before, lodged in place. They are sure that behind it there will still be a body, still as dead, as lifeless, as broken as it was on Friday when they buried him in a hurry. These three faithful friends, the last ones left, these women who did not abandon Christ like their male counterparts, they must have had so much that they wanted to talk about, so much that they wanted to share with each other on that long walk to the tomb. Such grief, such pain, such sorrow and hopelessness seeping through their hearts, their minds, their souls. They had lost him. All creation had lost him, denied him, crucified him. And now these three mourners were the final foolish tribute to the senseless ending of the one whom the world did not deserve. Surely there was so much that they wanted to say to each other as they walked to the tomb. But the only words they can utter out of their mouth are, "What are we going to do about that rock? Who will roll the stone away?" The reality of that question stings a bit in its genuineness. For don't we do the same thing? In the face of death, don't we also fixate on the practical, the emotionless, the benign, rather than face the truth we can't bring our hearts to accept? In the face of death, we ask questions like, "Who's going to make dinner? What color tie should he be buried in? What are we going to do with all her furniture? Do we have enough room in the fridge for the flood of casseroles that's about to begin? What's the appropriate length for a eulogy?" We cling to matters of small importance, and we do so just as much in the face of large-scale death and devastation. When the world grows addicted to war, addicted to killing, when brothers and sisters suffer in extreme poverty, when children of God die from starvation, from disease, when innocent bystanders are victims of terror, we don't ask the hard questions. If we're able to, we change the channel. We ask, "How will this affect the stock market? Do I need to change my vacation plans? What time is the game on tonight?" We distract ourselves with the practical. Maybe because we have to keep moving forward. Maybe because we have to delay the onset of the shock. Maybe because our minds aren't ready for the truth. We ask our own versions of that question, don't we? Who will roll the stone away? The first glimmer of hope in the story comes when they find that their practical problem has already been solved for them. They look up and see that the stone has already been rolled back. How? When? By whom? The story doesn't bother to answer that question, because what matters much, much more is the answer inside. The truth. The promise is fulfilled. The tomb is empty. Except for an angelic figure sitting there with words too powerful to comprehend. "He has been raised," the angel says. "He is not here. Not in the place of death where you left him. Not where we thought all our stories were supposed to end. He is risen indeed." And what did the women do when they heard this good news, this first proclamation of the Easter message? What did they do? Of course we know. They ran home and whipped up some deviled eggs and strawberry shortcake. They filled baskets with pastel-colored candy and set the table with all the fine china. No, of course not. Not on that first Easter, at least. They stood there, silent and transfixed, with mouths gaping as wide open as the tomb that they had just walked into. They stood petrified in complete shock as the words that they had heard, the mystery of this moment, reverberated through their minds and souls. And then the angel kept talking. With this wonderful news, he also gave them instructions, marching orders. "Go back," he said. "Go back to the disciples." The disciples? Yes. "Go back and gather together that fellowship of deserters. Assemble the crowd of cowards who all fled when the going got tough. Roll those stones that had been scattered in fear back together. Call them back and be sure to get Peter." You know the one. The one who vehemently denied 3 times that he even knew who Jesus was. "Gather back together that fallen, fearful group of followers and tell them it's time to journey back to Galilee. Back to where this story all began. Back to where he first called them off the fishing boats and out of the tax booths. Roll that stone of discipleship back to its origin. Go back. Because in a grace that you cannot yet comprehend, Christ is already there, waiting on you. The adventure continues." You see, in light of the resurrection, the entire momentum of creation has begun to move in reverse order. From death to life. A stone on a tomb rolled out of the way. The scattered community rolled back together. The journey of faith rolled back to its very origin. This, friends, is the day of the new creation. And the inertia of divine reversal is in full force. And it's still rolling back today. Our triune God, the God of the Bible, who does not let the story end where we think it should, the God who raised Jesus from the dead, is still in the business of rolling stones back. Our God is rolling back all those stones that we set in our way so vainly. The God of resurrection is rolling back all the obstacles that we place in the way of ourselves and our neighbors, rolling back the stones of hatred and injustice and exclusion and denial of humanity that we place before those whose stories are different than our own. The God of resurrection is still rolling back the stones of fear and worry and disappointment and resentment when families crumble apart, when covenants are broken, when betrayal is real, when the pain of life seems too heavy to carry. The God of resurrection is still rolling back the stones of isolation and loneliness, of shame and sorrow borne by victims, of terror or violence or bullying or abuse. The God of resurrection is still at work rolling back the stones of pride and vanity, of arrogance and greed that blind us with the sweet temptation to power. While our brothers and sisters suffer in oppression and insecurity, the God of resurrection is still at work, rolling back all the broken and beaten, the fearful and failed, the shattered and scattered stones of our lives, rolling us back together, and ultimately rolling back the very dominion of death itself for us. The Easter question is answered. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The stone of death has been rolled back. And now there is a new question. Are we willing to be rolled back as well? To God alone be the glory. Amen.